PromoHomo.tv begins right now.
Hello, everybody. I am your host, Nicholas Snow. This is another live edition of PromoHomo.tv. We're simulcasting right now on Blog Talk Radio and Facebook Live. And it is 2 p.m. on June 3rd. It's a Friday, 2016. So happy weekend, everybody. But the good news is this interview exists in perpetuity. Now, as I mentioned, my show today, I have the great opportunity of having Greg Rodriguez in studio, who is a candidate for the 42nd State Assembly here in California. And if you go to promohomo.tv, you'll find a blog where this broadcast will ultimately be located. But we'll learn more about Greg after our official opening, which begins right now.
PromoHomo.tv begins right now. Simulcast on Blog Talk Radio and Facebook Live, which basically means this is a worldwide television show that you can watch from any internet-connected device and you can call in. How cool is that? The show is made possible with the generous support of Desert AIDS Project, Lulu California Bistro, 849 Restaurant and Lounge, and we're a proud media sponsor of the LGBT Community Center of the Desert, Palm Springs Pride, and numerous other organizations and causes. For more about our sponsors and those we support, visit promohomo.tv. And now, on with the snow. Joe.
And here I am. As you can see, I have this very sophisticated setup in my studio. It actually allows me to treat this as a three-camera shoot, which you can see it isn't. I'm broadcasting with this particular smartphone and three microphones and a bunch of other stuff. Before I bring Greg in for the interview, I just want to let you know that he is a candidate for California 42nd State Assembly. For the record, I do endorse and support him, but if any of his competition, his rivals want to come on the show, you are welcome. You have an open invitation. So, raised in Southern California by a single mom who worked three jobs, Greg learned the values of personal responsibility and work ethic, a strong work ethic early on. And he worked his way through college, made a career fighting for individual liberties. 20 years ago, he left his company to become a full-time father after adopting his autistic nephew and another son who had been in five different foster homes by the time he was four. Greg poured himself into forging solutions for children with developmental disabilities and improving education in the desert. He became district director for Congressman Raul Ruiz and spent 2 years leading a team that delivered unparalleled constituent services to veterans, seniors, and other residents. People who have been following my podcast for many years will know that Greg appeared as a guest within the first few months of that podcast, and now he makes his first appearance here on PromoHomo.tv. Welcome, Greg.
Thank you, Nicholas. Proud to be here.
I'm so happy that you're here. Just to backtrack a little bit, when I first really came to know you, you were the campaign manager for Raul Ruiz. So you're not new to politics, but that was probably your biggest, most high-profile campaign that you ran, from my understanding.
Yeah, and I wasn't technically the campaign manager, but I was part of the campaign team for that, for his first election in 2012. And I owned my own campaign consulting business for many years. As you said, I was primarily a stay-at-home father, but I did a lot of volunteer work at nights, kind of have adult interaction. And then when we moved to the desert full-time is when I started back up my business and ran some local campaigns like Scott Hines' original city council campaign, may he rest in peace, and then Paul Lewin's campaign. I did some work for Manuel Perez. But you're right, Raul's was the biggest one that I was able to take part in and was very happy that he won.
Because we have the luxury of speaking more than just a few minutes, we don't have to do a quick sound bites, and we can dive a little bit into your history.
Mm-hmm.
And our community lost the late, great George Zander, who I know was like a father to you and very instrumental in
your introduction to the political arena, and I was wondering if you could take us back and and share not only how you first became political, but a tribute to George and his influence in your life.
Yeah, and he was a big influence. Actually, the very first campaign I ever did anything on was I was 13, and it was my babysitter's mother's school board race in Huntington Beach. And at that time, you know, we would fly our cars in the parking lot at Kmart. And, you know, that was a different type of campaigning than we do now, where it's much more targeted. But I got really involved, actually, in junior high and high school when I was in Boise, Idaho. And I actually worked for people on the other side of the political aisle and did work on presidential campaigns and congressional campaigns. And then continued that activity when I moved to Seattle after I graduated from college. And did more work, though, in anti-choice initiatives and fighting for choice and for women's reproductive health and anti-gay initiatives, trying to beat those down. That's kind of where my first exposure to George was. And then when I was 28, at that time, I'd been positive for over 30 years. And
when you say positive,
HIV positive. And you know, at that time, there wasn't medication. I didn't think I would live that long. And I believe it's always just been a lifelong dream for me to serve in public service. And so I ran for the state legislature up there, but I was very politically naive. I ran against a 20-year incumbent woman who, you know, was in a very liberal district and still got 20% of the primary vote, which was pretty good. But that's when George really kind of took me under his wing and said, you know, if you're really serious about, you know, a life in the political world and seeking office someday, is, you know, you need to get involved in the party structure and, you know, make the relationships that you need to make in order to advance your career. And so he got me very involved in what was called Harvey Muggy Democrats up there, which was very similar to the Stonewall Democrats organization. And then I got involved in the county party. He was the chair of the county party for the King County Democratic Party, and I eventually took over that position two people after him, and he had subsequently moved down here to the desert. So he played a key role in my political growth in Seattle. And then when I moved down here full-time in about 1995, you know, we immediately hooked back up, and I took kind of a break from politics for a year or two. I just really got involved in my kids' education here, and then in 2007, a woman named Hillary Clinton decided to run for president.
Hillary
who? Yeah, and so I basically ran her campaign here in the desert in 2007 and so got very back involved in politics and local organizations, and then the rest is history from there as far as campaign work. And I've been on the central committee for the county party here and involved in the state party system, and as I said, is, you know, done a lot of campaign work. But it, you know, George, bless his heart, and was taken from us way too early, but as you said, and I delivered in a eulogy that I gave for him too, is he really was kind of a father figure. And I didn't realize he felt that way until his husband, Chris, let me know that. And, you know, that he really...
Well, he looked at you as a son.
Yeah,
wow,
exactly. Oh. And, you know, it's very heartening and very humbling. And, you know, he's sorely missed. And it's really a shame, as I've said too, I get chills, is that he's not going to be able to be here to see this victory.
Well, you know, we had the recent Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast, which is one of the most profound events in the desert. I want to say hello to Ronald, who's just tuned in from San Diego. Anyone who's watching live, you're welcome to comment under the video screen. And if you have questions for my guest, I'd be happy to pass them on. Or if you have a tribute to him, I'll pass that on as well. At any rate, at the Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast, they opened it with a video of George welcoming people to that breakfast. Of course, it was a breakfast in another year. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting at a table with someone that didn't know who George was and didn't realize that was a tribute and that he wasn't somewhere else in the room on camera. And she's looking around and saying, well, you know, where is he? Where is he? I don't see him. And that really is an example of how, in many ways, George will always be with us.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm surprised that there was anyone in that room who didn't know who George was. But, you know, it could have been somebody from out of town or somebody new to the scene.
It was one of the few people And actually, I want to say hello to Hugo, who's turned in as well. It was actually someone that knew George, but just was so confused by the situation and realized that that was George and everything else.
Yeah.
So ultimately, she did know George, but she didn't understand what was happening in that moment.
Yeah, and it's like you say, he will always be with us. You know, he was one of the original founders of the Desert Stonewall Democrats, which is one of the most active Democratic clubs in the Valley here. He was instrumental in, you know, creating and developing the Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast. He played a huge role on that. He's played big roles in Pride. He's done so much in anti-bullying efforts, and really in his later years too, became an absolute champion for the transgender community here. And, you know, I really believe that the progress that they've made in the desert, George has played a really key role in, and will be remembered for that.
Well, I love George. I loved him and will always love him. And so glad that you shared some kind words about him. Now, I think that I want to take the opportunity to give a little bit of a civics lesson to people who are viewing us. And I personally will be a student here.
Okay.
Because even though I'm passionately involved in politics and that I vote in every election and I go out of my way to be informed, the process to me gets a bit confusing.
Yeah.
So for me and my viewers, you're running for California State Assembly 42nd District. Would you explain exactly how state politics is structured in the state of California and how the Assembly fits into our lives?
Yes. And every state is confusing and different, and I think especially as we've seen the national political stage play out with, you know, delegates and superdelegates and caucuses and primaries, it does get confusing. But the state assembly in California, there are 80 districts in the state. There are in the assembly, and the assembly is basically much like the U.S. House of Representatives at the federal level. So we have a state senate, and then we have the state assembly. So that would be comparable to the House of Representatives. There's, as I said, 80 assembly districts. There's 40 senate districts. And much like the federal government, the House and Senate in the state will propose legislation and pass it within their respective houses and then pass it on to the next house for adoption and then to the governor for his signature. I'm running for this position a lot, Nicholas, because as the congressman's district director, we realize how dysfunctional the federal government is at this point, and hopefully that will change in the future. But what I realized more than I already knew is that so much that affects our lives on a daily basis really comes from the operations of the state government. And that's really where we can affect change. That's where we can make sure that we have a voice in this area. And so that's really how the function of the state assembly works.
Laura Leindecker says she's watching Greg Rodriguez for state assembly live, and she's sharing that with her friend.
She's one of my biggest Republican supporters, Laura is. So welcome, Laura.
You know, Republicans are welcome to watch this show.
Of course they are.
Yes. So speaking of, I'm glad that Laura sort of interjected that topic. Where has bipartisanship gone, and does it still exist, and if so, how locally?
Locally, I think it does. And, you know, when I was the district director for the congressman, you know, my mantra was, and I say this a lot in my campaign too, while I have a Democrat or a D behind my name on the ballot, is my whole role in running for this office and as the district director was, I didn't care if you had a D, an R, or an I, you know, behind your name. We wanted to do what was best for the district. And that's exactly how I'm approaching not only the campaign, but that's exactly how I will approach running for office. When I talk to business leaders in the area, or you talk to nonprofits that, you know, some are controlled by Republicans, others are controlled by Democrats. You have boards around here with nonprofits that have a mixture of, you know, Democrats, Republicans, and independents. And, you know, when we talk about the issues, again, it's not a partisan thing. And I think locally that's nice. Now, in the state of California, the assembly is pretty much controlled by the Democratic Party. It's, you know, a pretty, pretty blue state here. That doesn't mean, though, that you can't find common ground with some of the Republicans to pass legislation and, again, to get representation. I argue, though, that my opponent, that's not the case, that still tends to toe just the party line and is really not the best representative that we can have for the true interests of the district.
Now, you mentioned opponent, but there are three names on the ballot under 42nd Assembly districts. You have two opponents?
Yeah. In the primary, we'll have two. We have, I have two opponents. And another civics lesson is in California here, we have what's called a top two primary. And so in the election, we will vote for, you know, whoever the top two people that get the most votes, and then go on to the general election. I do not have a Democratic Party opponent. The incumbent, which is my main opponent, is Chad Mays, who's the Republican. And then there is a gentleman named Jeff Hewitt. He's a great guy. He's a mayor out of Calamasa who's running under the Libertarian ticket.
Okay. What separates you from these gentlemen in terms of your platforms?
Yeah, quite a bit. One, as I said, is I'm actually going to Sacramento not as a long on a political ladder. It's well known that Chad would like to have a seat in Congress someday, and many believe that's why he ran for the state assembly. I'm not doing that. I'm actually going up there, as I said, to get results. I'm going up there to work for the people of the district. As far as some votes that my opponent, again, Chad, has taken against women, as far as when it comes to equal pay for women, when it comes to equality and workers' comp issues for women, when it comes to reproductive rights for women. He's also voted against the Minimum Wage Act here. He refused to vote on the equality bill for transgender access to the bathroom. And just most recently jumped on board an HIV organ transplant bill, which is a great bill, but kind of him and Hod, whether he would support it in the beginning, and I, you know, to me it's just really pandering to the voters more than anything else. Specifically though on the issues is we really haven't seen anything substantive come from Sacramento out of the 42nd district. We will be the fastest growing region in the state over the next 10 years. That's going to bring a lot of opportunities, but a lot of challenges. We've been ignored in this part of the state for way too long. Most of the resources and attention goes to LA, San Diego, San Francisco, Sacramento. And again, as the fastest growing area, we've got to make sure that we have voices up there. Eduardo Garcia, who's the assemblyman out of the 56th Assembly District out in the eastern Coachella Valley, big supporter of mine, but he needs somebody else up there that can help provide another voice for the Inland Empire. Quickly on issues, you know, my top three really are education, obviously my work with my children in an education system. I'm very concerned about the protection of Proposition 30 funding for our schools, maintaining small class sizes, investing and expanding career-type technical education, and then as well, you know, supporting the teachers and classified employees. Secondly, water issues, and, you know, we should have been talking about that years and years ago here, but we need to look at not only conservation, but we need to look at recycling. A great example is that Israel recycles over 87% of their water, 83 to 87%. We only do about 13 to 17% in the state of California. We need to look at long-term storage solutions. We need to look at some of the new technologies that are coming out of, again, Israel, that look at effective, cost-effective, and environmentally friendly ways to do desalinization. And then when I talk about water, too, I like to throw in the salt and sea issue. My opponent, Chad, seems to think this is really more of an issue for Eduardo, since it's in the 56th. However, I argue that the environmental, the health, and economic disaster that the sea could be, and if we don't do anything, will be, will affect the 42nd district just as much as it will the 56th. So I really, again, want to be able to get up in Sacramento and work with not only the state government, but with the federal government, with our tribes, with private industry and public, local public agencies to find not only short-term mitigation issues for the Salton Sea, but again, long-term solutions and how we get water into that. And then the final big issue, and you know, I can talk about a lot of different issues, but the real main issue that I've really been talking a lot about and getting a lot of positive response from voters on is the whole mental health issue. And I mentioned Scott Hines previously, and you know, we've talked a lot about mental health issues when someone famous we know passes away, such as Scott here locally or Robin Williams nationally. We'll talk about it for a couple weeks and then it tends to die down and we really don't pay attention or focus on it. I just don't want to go talk about it in Sacramento, though. I actually want us to start looking at some ways we can solve the mental health problem. Homelessness, as you know, not only here in the Coachella Valley, but throughout my district, which includes the Hemet and San Jacinto area, the High Desert, Morongo, Yucca Valley, Joshua Tree, and 29 Palms area, is rampant here. And a majority of the cause of homelessness is either substance abuse or mental health issues. And more likely than not, the substance abuse is a byproduct of mental health issues.
Very good point.
Yeah. And so we've got to look at ways, and, you know, Desert AIDS Project is a perfect model of how they've developed kind of a healthcare system around providing housing, but also providing the other services of mental health, substance abuse, medical care, job training, job placement. And we've got to look at those kind of housing first models and implement those on a regional type basis. Most people don't know, some do know that we passed Proposition 63 a while back, which was the Mental Health Services Act, which provides a substantial amount of funding for mental health services. But there's no real statewide auditing of that program. We don't know how effective the money is being spent by the counties, and so we've really got to look at how that money is being spent. Are the programs working? If they're not working, then how do we invest in other type of programs to make sure those are working? Again, this is not just a state issue problem either. We've got to be working in conjunction with the federal government, especially since mental health services now are covered somewhat under the Affordable Care Act, but also, again, with some of our local nonprofits and faith-based institutions who do amazing work but are strapped and can only do so much by themselves. And so those are really kind of the main issues, and I think that make me different than the other two candidates that I'm working or running against.
Well, thank you for that. You know, you mentioned Desert AIDS Project in your discussion, and I just wanted to let the viewers that do not know, this broadcast is taking place from my apartment in a complex that's associated with Desert AIDS Project. I'm a grateful client of Desert AIDS Project. I'm living powerfully with HIV because of it. But it is a very comprehensive organization that helps meet a whole cross-section of needs of its clients. It is also integrally involved in the health and well-being of the broader community by being one of the most significant champions of, for example, and this is just one example, of Get Tested Coachella Valley, which is an affiliation of, I think, 80 to 100 organizations that are helping to everyone know their status. And you're also on the board of directors for Desert AIDS Project as well.
I served on the board, I believe, for 2.5 years. I left the board when I became the congressman's district director.
Okay.
But I've been a long-time supporter of the Desert AIDS Project, both financially, and I was a client of Desert AIDS Project for a while. And then after I left the congressman's office to really work on my campaign, I joined the Get Tested Coachella Valley program as their operations manager and then left them in February to focus full-time on my campaign here.
Okay. Thank you for your service. Mm-hmm. I want to say hello to another one of our viewers, Keith Cornell, who actually works at Desert AIDS Project as well. I love the interactivity of Facebook Live.
I know, this is great.
I like being able to interact with people that are interacting with us. Yeah. It's very powerful stuff.
Yeah.
Is there anything, we have time, but I want to know, is there anything else that you would like to specifically say about what you're bringing to the table as the potential assemblyman for the 42nd District?
Yeah. You know, again, I talk about results, but those results, Nicholas, are not just about the legislation that you do in Sacramento or, you know, bringing the resources back to the district from Sacramento. It's also about being present in the district. And we made it a big point when I was in the congressman's office to make sure that not only he, as the elected official, but us as staff were present, you know, that we went to the chamber events, that we went to the events, the Desert AIDS Projects or HARC or, you can go on and on, Desert ARC, all the great organizations we have here in the desert, and not just attending events, but actually attending their legislative meetings, attending special meetings or presentations that they were doing, so that we really had a good handle on what was going on in the district. And that's really what I want to bring back as well, is not just going to Sacramento on Monday or Monday evening and coming back on Thursday, but being in the district and talking to the voters, and not just the voters, but those who run our businesses, who run our nonprofits, and listening to people and what they want, and more so is advocating. The state has a lot of resources around whether it's small business development, whether it's around health issues, whether it's around implementing homeless programs or mental health services, that we can bring those type of programs into the district through educational type forums and seminars with state agencies in conjunction with federal agencies. So that's going to be a big focus of mine as well.
Okay. Another viewer and a friend of both of ours, I think, is Dave Powell. He let me know that he can hear you, but he can't see me, and Keith is agreeing. I reached over and put another mic on, so they're hearing you just fine.
Okay.
You're the most important part of this interview. But if their viewers would let me know if my putting on an additional microphone has helped because there was another microphone nearby. Now I'm wearing both of them. I'm not asking you to necessarily tell me who you're supporting for president, but I would like you to address the issue about why everybody. Oh, you guys still cannot hear me, so I don't know what the issue is about my audio. You can't hear me at all, or I'm just faint. Okay, we just figured it out, I think. Now that I should be able to, you know, what happened right before the show is my whole apparatus fell down, and I was unplugged the whole time, and now I am plugged in. I'm sure of it. I'm sure that fix worked. Yep, that fix worked. So, people, thank you, but please tell me these things earlier in the show, okay? Let me know early in the show if you see a technical issue. I appreciate that. I want you to address, Greg, why every vote counts and why this strategy for the Democrats and independents who do not want to see Trump take office, why it's so important for us to get behind whoever the nominee is, and also address the impact of people who don't vote or vote for a candidate that has no chance of winning, even if they're not voting for Donald Trump.
Yeah, well, I think a little history is in order here, too. Is that we can look back to the 2000 election when in the state of Florida there were enough Nader voters that voted for Ralph Nader, who had no chance of becoming president, and basically gave the election to George W. Bush. In 2000, to give you a little perspective, too, on where we're at as far as the Democratic Party goes this year, you know, as I said, I worked for Hillary Clinton's campaign in the 2008 election cycle. And, you know, she went all the way to the end, just as Bernie should be allowed to do. I agree, and I think it's great that finally California has somewhat of a say in the nomination of our Democratic Party candidate. So it's great. With that being said, though, this is far less acrimonious than it was in 2008 between then-Senator Obama and Senator Clinton. This is nothing compared to how rough and tumble that got. Now, when it came to the realization, though, after the last contest and Secretary Clinton realized that she was trailing in the pledged delegates, even though she had more of a popular vote, but she was trailing in the pledged delegates, and then the superdelegates began to switch to support Senator Obama at that time, because he had the most pledged delegates. So when all is said and done on Tuesday, you know, everybody talks about the math, and the math is realistic. It will probably be that Hillary Clinton will have the most pledged delegates. She will also have the most popular votes and has already secured a number of the superdelegates. Now, even if you took all the past contests where Senator Sanders won in certain states and switch those superdelegates that currently are pledged to Secretary Clinton, he still would not have enough to secure the nomination. She would still have the necessary numbers to do that. The second part of your question, and, you know, again, I've been involved in politics for so long, and the most important thing for people to do is turn out to vote. When President Obama was first elected and we had a Democratic majority in the House of Representatives, we had a Democratic majority in the U.S. Senate, even though it wasn't a filibuster-proof majority. A lot of great legislation came out of the House, but it got stalled in the Senate because we didn't have a filibuster-proof majority. Then what happened in 2010 is Democrats did not turn out to vote, and so we lost the House. And then that's where we've gotten this gridlock that has just become super hyper-partisan. Nothing's getting done, and it even got worse in 2014, again, because the voter turnout was so low. We know historically that when Democrats show up, and that all tends to happen only in a general presidential election year, then more Democrats win offices. And that's definitely true in this assembly district as well. That's why we really believe we can win it this year. I get people's passion around their candidates. I've been there. You know, again, I was a strong Hillary delegate all the way to the convention. I was lucky enough to be a national convention. But when it came to actually supporting the Democratic nominee, I was on board 120% with President Obama, 120%. And I think that's the key. Now, that will take time. It's going to be the responsibility of Secretary Clinton to encourage the Sanders supporters to support her. It's also beholden on Senator Sanders, much like Secretary Clinton did with President Obama, to encourage a unity, to encourage them to support Secretary Clinton. But more importantly, Nikas, is to encourage the Democratic candidate, because the Democratic Party represents their values far better than Donald Trump does. And I and many others, and although some people in my family are voting for Trump, I am really afraid of what will happen if he becomes president of this country. I'm afraid of our standing in the world. I'm afraid of how not only our government, but our society will treat minorities, people with different religious beliefs than they are. Some of the rollback and protections that could happen with different appointments to the Supreme Court that would affect yours and my life as LGBT members, women's rights, disability rights, voting rights. And so it is key. I mean, our number one goal in November should not only be defeating Donald Trump, but again, in order for our governments to work effectively, to really adopt policies, whether that's on the federal level or the state level, is really to elect more Democrats, because Democrats really do represent the interests of the working class, of the disenfranchised, of those seeking a hand up, not a handout, but those that are willing to work hard, play by the rules. It's really Democrats that throughout history have shown that we're the ones that can achieve that.
Well, very well said. I'm going to throw it back to you in a moment for a closing remark. But my guest today is Greg Rodriguez, candidate for the 42nd State Assembly. You can learn more about him at gregrodriguez.com. The California state primary is this coming Tuesday. This show is going out live on June 3rd, 2016. It's a Friday. It's 2:31 p.m. I have this ballot that I got in the mail, and I'm going to let our candidate help me solve an issue. But to be fair, I have made it known that his opponents can come on my show at any time. I personally believe, Greg, that you're going to end up being one of the top two, and if whoever you're competing against wants to come on, if you want to both come on together, you're quite welcome to. But your opponents are Chad Mays and Jeff Hewitt. Jeff Hewitt is a Libertarian, and Chad Mays is a Republican. So one of the things I wanted to ask you to help me out logistically is I've changed from a P.O. box. I stopped using a P.O. box and started using my home now that I'm in a long-term living situation. Mm-hmm. And I never got a sample ballot the last time. I was ultimately able to vote, so I re-registered at this address, and then I did get my ballot in the mail, and it had a form where I could request a sample ballot by a certain date, but it also said that I already registered for vote by mail and I didn't need to do that. The bottom line is I don't have a ballot.
Yeah. Okay.
And I haven't voted, and so I'm supposed to basically find out where my polling place
right.
is, go and fill out a provisional ballot?
No, you should be able to. So when you registered, did you register as a Democrat?
Yes, okay. I'm a registered Democrat.
And you registered to vote by mail?
I thought that I did, but according to this that came to me, it said that I did, because there's something printed on it that said if you register to vote by mail, you do not need to fill this out.
Okay. Well, since you didn't get your ballot, you have one of two options.
Okay.
You could, it's getting a little late now, but they could still get it to you, is you could call the Registrar of Voters, the Riverside County Registrar of Voters, or you can go to their website. It's called voteinfo.net, and request a mail ballot. At this point, though, you can also go to that site, voteinfo.net, or call the Riverside County Registrar of Voters and find out where your polling location would be. They're determined by where your residential address is. And I'm not sure. I think it might be at the church.
I think I know how to find my polling place.
Yeah. So that's what I would recommend. And more than likely, they'll be able to determine by the voter rolls there whether or not you're a permanent absentee voter or not, or a vote-by-mail voter. And if not, if you for somehow it didn't you didn't sign up, you'll be able to vote there on a ballot as well. And then if you were one and there's a discrepancy, then you can do what they call a provisional ballot. It still counts. It's a legal ballot. They get counted. So that's what you need to do.
Well, and I'll make sure I do all of those that are necessary so I can cast my vote. We have a late viewer tuning in, Raymond Bordeaux, who you probably know. I think you would know him if you saw him. He says, sorry I just joined, but if you could, would you ask Greg what his position in assembly would be for fighting in on behalf of those living with HIV, of which you have acknowledged you are living with HIV, so it's, of course, near and dear to your heart.
Yeah. I think it would go without saying that I have been on the forefront of this fight since my early 20s, and not just living with it, but actually advocating for treatment and for, you know, in the beginning days, for people just admitting that it was around. And, you know, and there's a whole host of other issues that come along with that. As I mentioned earlier, too, you know, I've served on the board of the AIDS Project. I've worked for the Get Tested Initiative. I'm a huge proponent of PrEP. You know, I'm a proponent of needle exchanges, which we don't even have in this county. This county doesn't allow. And maybe that's something we need to look at the state level, because it's been proven medically and through science that needle exchanges decrease the spread of HIV. We need to make sure that, you know, our insurance programs continue to take care of those who can't afford the high cost of medicines. Nichols, I'm sure you and I both know that. And I don't think you will have a stronger advocate for HIV, AIDS, and the prevention, treatment, and elimination of that in Sacramento than me.
Well, I'm sure of that. So I hope you like your answer, Raymond. Yeah. Thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Is there anything you would like to add in conclusion?
Yeah, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to do this, and I know we've been talking about doing it for a while now, but I would just really encourage people, no matter what your party affiliation is to really look at what this district is, the potential where we can go, and, you know, I want people to know that they're going to have an assembly person and a representative that they're going to know. They're going to know my name, they're going to see me in the district, and they're going to see results getting done, and I would just be honored and ask to have your vote. If you have not already mailed your ballot in, mail it in today, or you can take it into a polling place on Tuesday. And if you vote at the polls, is to please make sure you show up on Tuesday, June 7th.
Thank you, Greg Rodriguez.
Thank you so much.
And I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm sorry about the audio issues. What happened was this phone on this tripod fell over right before the show, and I neglected to notice that my microphone had become unplugged. So although my voice was faint during the show, I certainly hope that it was loud enough for you to at least know what I was asking. But thank you again for watching. And Keith Cornell says, thank you, Greg, for all you have and will be doing in the future.
Thank you, Keith.
And thank all of you for watching.
For all of our upcoming programs, social media links, and a link to all of our advertisers, visit promohomo.tv. Until next time, I'm Nicholas Snow.
We've just wrapped up the Facebook broadcast, and now we're going to wrap up the Blog Talk Radio broadcast. And as usual, I thank all of you for listening. Please spread the word about promohomo.tv. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.